The event features guest interviews of true stories that may be traumatic for some listeners. Content warnings and resource information are included in the episode notes. Some names and places have been changed for privacy. In every person's life, there is at least one event that changes them forever, redirects their path, and leaves a mark. These stories will give you a glimpse into the lives of people who have lived through that event, come out the other side, and all of the messy, heartbreaking, and beautiful things that happen along the way. This is The Event. Coming up.
I just needed to be home. I wanted to be home with my husband. I hadn't seen him in 2 weeks. I just wanted to be home. This is the very first time that I was aware that there was something really wrong. Again, it's just like going through life and just not paying attention to the little things that you look back on thinking you should have been paying more attention to. And it was just this crazy moment of just sheer panic. Realizing that he's not waking up, he's not coming out of it. I remember very calmly dialing 911. I didn't want Steve out of my sight. I just didn't want him out of my sight. But I remember him not wanting to let go of my hand and him telling me, "We're gonna be okay, we're gonna be okay, we're gonna be okay." It was just perfect. It was one you'd never forget. I don't really talk about that a whole lot. I don't bring that up as good times, real good times. He was in his 30s, I was in my 20s. We were living it up. We had a good time when we were living in San Diego. It was just a lot of fun. We moved when Devin was a baby, a few months after he was born. We had a little house in Vallejo. And his family lived in Petaluma. And so we were back and forth a lot from Vallejo to Petaluma. And then he had this opportunity to go down to San Diego again and work. And so we took it. And then we knew that the Mare Island Naval Shipyard that he worked at was going to be closing down. So I remember us coming back from San Diego, back up to our house in Vallejo, and finding out that we were on the list to go to Fort Lewis. So he was going to change from the Department of the Navy to the Department of the Army, and then moved up to Olympia. And he stayed with the Department of the Army for another 4 years or something.
At this point, I asked Candy if she would like a break. I knew we were easing into Steve's last days and that the next hour would be intense. Asking a friend to do the awkward routine of putting on headphones and speaking into a microphone about the most intimate and painful details of their life feels strange. It's humbling. It's a gift I feel the need to be very gentle with.
Let's just keep going, if you're okay with that. Steve is an artist in many ways. He loved to build things. He was not trained at anything. He just always was able to figure things out. He designed some furniture. He'd done some artwork, painting, things like that, photography. Play guitar. He was really talented. He was always wanting to get a little further away from civilization. We lived in one home for 8 years, and then we moved out of the traffic and everything further out and moved into this community and had purchased this mid-century home. And it was a total fixer-upper, and I was not up for it. But he just knew that was the one, that was the place. And it needed a lot of work. And he was sure he could make it great. So we bought that house, and there's a little 9-hole golf course out there and a small lake. There was never a time that there wasn't a construction zone in my house. And towards the end, the last couple of years, probably 13 years in, we had talked about what he was going to do when he retired. And I said, listen, we can get an RV and downsize into a smaller place, and are we going to be expat somewhere? We can do whatever we want to do. And he decided that we needed to buy a plot of land somewhere and build our own home. So for a couple of years, we looked and looked for property. We had been looking south of Olympia, and he didn't like road noise. So there was no properties that we looked at for 2 years that didn't have a lot of road noise. I started thinking there's never going to be a time where we're going to actually buy a piece of property, because that perfect piece wasn't out there for him. And then we started looking north instead. We had seen another one in the paper or somewhere. So we drove down to that one and past this beautiful lake, Lake Nawatzel, and had to drive down this little private road. It just opened up into this little bit of a clearing, and I just knew the minute we pulled up in there, this has got to be it. This is a beautiful piece of property here. I love this. It was 5 acres. It was just property, was nothing else out there. So there were people around, but we're still pretty secluded. And I said, this is it. I think this is our property. He agreed. We purchased it and started developing. And then we bought a yurt. I thought it'd be fun to have a yurt out there, because I didn't know how long it was going to actually take us to build a home. Brought it up in June. I think it was over Father's Day weekend. Everybody came together, and it took us 2 days to put up this yurt. At this time, we are working on our house, the plans for our house and finding a builder and all that. We were already well into working on that when he had this idea. Let's sell our house, move out onto the property, because I want to be sure that when this house goes up, it's done to my specifications. He wanted the opportunity to come home from work every day and go out and see what was going on with that house and what he wasn't liking about it. He was going to make sure it was going to be changed. I agree, because I'm flying, and I just knew I was only going to be spending a couple nights a week out there.
During the last 10 years of her marriage, Candy went to school and became a flight attendant. This allowed her and Steve to travel together, but it also meant that many nights would be spent apart. I'm in awe of how they managed to stay so close with miles between them. I covet the little romantic gestures and covert meetups in different hotels and airports. There's an exciting and almost clandestine feel to it that is so appealing and sweet.
We also then get a 22-foot camp trailer for the bathroom and the kitchen. And after the house was built, he was going to build a bathhouse, and we could get rid of that trailer. We moved in, I think, November. Yeah, it was cold already, raining, cold. But we had a nice little wood stove in there. We had some heaters. We were pretty set. There was just one delay after another with the builders. And so we ended up out there for a full year before things were set in stone for them to start breaking ground on the house. Way longer than I expected we'd be out there. But again, I wasn't there every single night of the week. So but he would always tell me, come here, you need to know how to do this. Come watch me do this. You need to know this. And I would say, why do I need to know this? I don't need to know this. Chopping wood and things like that. So we were out there a long time. We spent 2 Christmases out there. And Devin would come out on the weekends. He'd always be like, you got to come out here. I need help this weekend. And I remember telling him, Steve, you need to lay off him. This is our thing. Devin didn't ask to have to work on a 5 acres of property and do all this stuff. You need to quit relying on him. But that was their relationship and it worked. I know Devin really loved that property as well. He would just come up on the weekend and if I were home on a Sunday and he would just hang with us. I was based out of Seattle. I had a friend in Seattle that I would stay at her apartment when I was on call. So if I was on reserve from Monday through Thursday, I'd have to be in Seattle Sunday night because I could get a call as early as 3:30 a.m. So I knew that my block was that I had to stay for those full 4 days. Oftentimes, Kate wasn't home, so he would just stay with me there. He was starting to get into doing more photography again for the first time in years. He'd never really switched from film and was not really versed in the digital camera stuff. But he had bought a nice camera and was wanting to do more photography. We were in Seattle and he was taking photographs of things and doing our thing, knocking around. We were just walking and walking, and this was the very first time that I was aware that there was something really wrong. He stopped and he was, I gotta stop for a minute. I gotta catch my breath. God, we weren't where he could sit down or anything. And I was, we don't have to move. We don't have to go anywhere. We can get an Uber, whatever we need to do. And he's, no, just give me a minute. I'll be fine. And I do recall, December that year, we went to New York. I remember getting off my flight and then he came to the airport to meet me. And then we were going to fly out on a red eye to New York. And the next flight that was going out was like leaving within 40 minutes or so. And it was clear across the SeaTac airport. I'm booking it. I stop and turn around and he's lagging really far behind and struggling to just keep up. He's out of breath. I waited until he caught up and I asked him, do you need to rest? And he said, yeah. And so he rested and he was ready to go again. And I think that was probably after the situation in Seattle where he felt lightheaded. I'm not really clear on that because, again, it was just like going through life and just not paying attention to the little things that you look back on thinking you should have been paying more attention to. And I recall telling him, you need to go to the doctor. You need to get this checked out. You need to go to the doctor. He had made an appointment to see the doctor on a Friday, but there was a 3-day holiday and he wanted to go to the Bay Area for that weekend. And I remember him saying, I'm online trying to cancel my appointment and it's not working. And he was getting really upset about it. I said, why don't you just call them and reschedule at the same time? And he didn't do that. He figured it out and he canceled it and he didn't make another appointment. We flew down to the Bay Area and he was all about wanting to take these photos, these kind of famous areas to take a photo. He and I and his nephew, we were on our way out to the beach. We were in our rental car. We were driving along and we're kind of in this curvy area just outside of Marin. And we thought maybe that we had a flat tire. There's something wrong with the car. He couldn't steer it. And he was not able to get it to stop right away. And it was just this crazy moment of just sheer panic for us because we're on this really windy little 2-lane road and there was a big rock wall that we were kind of following. And when he finally was able to get it off to the side of the road as much as possible, it just sunk right in to the soil in the side of the road. And we were seriously like a foot away from hitting that sheer cliff. And then we're worried about getting out of the car because it was on a turn and cars were just coming past and having to bolt out a little bit from their lane to get across, and there's other cars coming, and it was just mayhem for a few minutes. And I oftentimes look back at that thinking that was not good for his heart at all. The precursor of the other couple of things happening, and then this happening and getting him stressed out. I just wonder how many days or weeks that took off his life, having to go through that. And so now we're kind of in this weird place where there's no cell reception. We're still a long way from the next little town, a long way to get to the beach. And we had called the car rental place and said, you need to do something. And so they said they were going to send a cab. And in the interim, Steve just takes off with his camera. And in retrospect, I wondered how he really felt at the time, how stressed out he actually was. He kind of walked away from us, and I feel like that was just him exiting, so we didn't know. And then the next day, I'm leaving. I got there on Friday. This is what happened on Saturday. I go home on Sunday. Like, it was just such a wash of a weekend for me. But what I'm truly happy with is that weekend, he and Derek had an opportunity to have some real quality time together. As an uncle and nephew, they were very, very close. Derek is the only child of Steve's younger sister who had passed away 9 months earlier of cancer. I went on to work, and the following weekend, when I finished up with work, I went to Arizona and then flew back to SeaTac and started my next week of work on call. So 2 weeks had gone by before I saw Steve again. And I was on call through Sunday, which was February 2nd. It was Super Bowl. But I had an airport standby, which meant I had to stay in the airport on call for a full day on Saturday. And I didn't get called to fly. I just decided to drive home. And I never was that irresponsible with my job, because I had to be within 2 hours of getting a call and being at the airport at my gate to get on the plane. And I was well out of that 2 hour range when I go home. So I was really taking a chance on the possibility of getting a call the next day and not being able to make it. Again, not something I ever did. I just had this strong, I just needed to be home. I wanted to be home with my husband. I hadn't seen him in 2 weeks. I just wanted to be home. And so I went home on that Saturday and got to see him and spend the day with him. And the day that I'd come home from work was always just kind of a down day. I wasn't going to be doing any housework or unpacking or doing anything. I was just going to be there. And Steve had been to the grocery store. He'd gotten, you know, stocked up everything like he always did. One of the things he used to love to do for me whenever I would travel, if I take a trip back to see my family in Arizona or anywhere I'd go, a girl's vacation weekend or whatever, whenever I came home, Steve always had clean sheets on the bed for me. It was just that one little love language he had that I loved. There was never a day that I came home from a trip that he didn't have fresh new sheets on the bed for me. I mean, we changed him every week, but he would do it again if it meant I was coming home. So everything was done. So that Saturday, I just got to just hang and be with him. And then Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday, and we had an opportunity for a family day that day. And so Devin came up, we watched some football, we ate, and I remember all of our conversations that day.
Coming up in the next episode of The Event.
Something wasn't right, and I remember looking at him, are you okay? Is everything okay? I remember the operator asking me what was the emergency, and I remember telling her that we were making love and that he felt dizzy and he just collapsed onto the floor. Just horrified watching this. Holding on to everything I possibly could at that moment, knowing that
it was going to go away soon, really soon.
Hey, listeners, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and supporting this show. The Event is an independent podcast created and written by me, Angela Perez. Guest interviews are unscripted, and views shared by guests are their own and might not represent the views of The Event, its producers, or sponsors. If you like this podcast, follow, leave a 5-star review, and most importantly, please, please, please share The Event with your family and friends and on social media. Sharing is the best way for this podcast to grow and reach others, and it would mean the world to me. Thank you. You can join The Event community on The Event Facebook discussion group, and you can find me at theeventpod.com. Some links are from sponsors, and using them helps support this podcast. Season 1 was produced in collaboration with Candy Ayala.
Always be